I've been on a boat with John Stravers twice. The first time was with a group of faculty and grad students, and he was talking about bird research he'd done in the area. It's a stretch of river that marks the border between Iowa and Wisconsin. And John talks about birds very enthusiastically. He's magnetic. So I went back to the river, same boat, based in McGregor, Iowa, to hear John's music. It was a sunset cruise, BYOB kind of thing, and he played that night some songs about the same birds that he studied. After the cruise, he and I sat down by the river, a little parking lot, railroad tracks on one side, the river's right on the other, and I asked him how he got into birding. He told me it was when he came back from Vietnam. He had PTSD and survivor's guilt, but he didn't know that at the time.
You know, now I think there's a sense of people realize that people have been through some stuff and they kind of are more aware of it. At the time, you come back and you don't even know what you've been through. And there's a lot of reasons for that dysfunctionality, but I was trying to be in the real, in the normal world, and it wasn't working. And so I was always removing myself. I was always downriver. I was always in a canoe. I was always in a boat. I was always getting away, escaping. Then at some point, I had a red-faced screech owl that was wintering in a cavity right outside my kitchen window. And I'm like, well, what's the deal with this red face? And so I called Gladys Black, the bird lady. She wrote articles for the Des Moines Register. Well, Gladys not only filled me in, but then she sent this long handwritten letter explaining it, you know. And I was fascinated by her patience, her penmanship, and her thoroughness. So I called her up and asked her something else about what I was seeing. And then I said, well, could we go out? She said, well, sure, just come over. And so I went over one morning and we went out birding, and I was just fascinated by her knowledge and her enthusiasm about birds. And so we started doing that regularly. And she recognized, she's like 70, I'm 26 or something, 20, you know, and but she recognized the energy or the fool in me, or that she recognized my patience right away. Then I participated in a raptor migration study where we're catching migrating raptors on October 13th of 1976, and I caught a young red tail, and it just like that was, it was like the hook. It was like I was just waiting for something like that to happen.
There was some. John gets really into hawks. In fact, this is where he picks up the nickname Hawk. Specifically, he's tracking the red-shouldered hawk. He's climbing trees and banding birds, and he gets really, really committed
to the fact that I would sleep in the boat so that I could be there at dawn, or abandon relationships because I just had, I figured if they survive, great, then it'll be fine when I come back out of the nesting season, you know. And so I stuck with that. And my children recognized that. Even though they had to do without me, they understood that and they respected that, and they forgave me for it. But it was when my son grew up, he started working professionally then as a bird researcher doing raptor migration in the Intermountain West. But then he got hired as field assistants doing work on prairie falcons and golden eagles in the Snake River. And he did some goshawk work in Oregon. So he built his own bird world. It looked like mine, only it was out west. And he came back to Iowa then to help me with stuff. And he knocked on my door. And like when we were out, he realized that I was missing certain species because they weren't red-shouldered hawks. And he got me to slow down, and he turned my spiritual attention back into the center, keep the balance. And it was the cerulean warblers and the cedar waxwings that were the key species. It's like, man, listen to this. These guys are all over.
So this is an important discovery. People thought cerulean warblers were rare in upper Iowa and Wisconsin, maybe even in decline. But now Hawk and his son were seeing them everywhere.
Okay, so I started doing this work, and right away in the first year, I was picking up ceruleans all over the place because I go out after it, okay? I just go out after it, okay? I probably, when they're doing a contract work, I probably do twice as much work as they're paying me to do just because I'm curious and I find these places. And the first few years, I was picking up ceruleans here and there, and then I was like, okay, hey, this is something here. So I got everybody's attention, and we were picking up some, so they kept the funding going. And then once I got onto some of their tricks, it's like, okay, holy cow. Really, literally, in 1 year in 212, when I had the time to invest in it, I found like 190 in Yellow River State Forest alone. Okay, now consider that previous information was 16 suspected territories, and then everybody is like, nobody's even believing this. I mean, I'm not even believing this. Okay, honestly,
but. But people really didn't believe it, right? I mean, you would send the numbers back and people would just say...
Well, no, some people did. They wouldn't have kept funding me. Some people did. You know, they were a little bit surprised. But the bird community, considering... And I have a reputation as being a little radical. And I also had a reputation of, I'm good with red-shouldered hawks, but I don't know this other stuff.
It turns out he did know this other stuff. And over the last several years, John has identified more cerulean warblers in this part of the country than anyone else.
But yeah, there's something that drives me. And part of it, though, the main part is where these red shoulders are and where these ceruleans are down in Snyder McGill. It's the hardest place to get to, the biggest, oldest tree, the deepest canyon. It's a wild place. And my heart, my spirit just wants to be someplace wild.
A song that fades into me. I heard that hawk along the hill.
John Stravers is a consultant with the National Audubon Society and a musician. Our Mellon ACLS Public Fellow Craig Ely produced the story.